wiped your dishes, and oh, how they shine, shine without wiping, and half of the time, and look right, right. So don't you get left, get Dreft. Now, Dreft presents Joyce Jordan, M.D. Joyce Jordan, M.D., the moving and dramatic story of a woman doctor, of her struggle to be a woman and a doctor at the same time. Joyce Jordan, M.D. Let Dreft do it. Yes, believe me, millions of women say that nowadays. Dreft, Procter & Gamble's sudsing miracle, makes dishes shine even without wiping. Why, Dreft washes glasses so they sparkle without touching a towel to them.
And that's true, no matter how greasy these dishes are. Last week, we had a late dinner one evening and let the dishes stand overnight. Well, I would have dreaded tackling those sticky dishes with dried-on food and stiff grease if it weren't for Dreft. I simply poured a little Dreft in the dishpan, turned the faucet, swished my dishes in Dreft suds, and it was a snap. I was finished in a jiffy.
I'll bet you were, and I'll bet, too, that they really sparkled.
Yes, indeed. My china and glassware would do credit to the finest table setting, and I haven't even wiped them.
Why, sure, that's where Dreft is different. Dreft doesn't leave film on dishes the way soaps do. Dreft rinses clear, so dishes shine even without wiping.
And that unpleasant dishpan grease seems to disappear like magic. Dreft's kind to hands, too. Women who Dreft their pretty colored lingerie know how gentle Dreft is. It won't make hands rough and red from alkali.
Yes, ladies, for dishes that shine even without wiping, try Dreft. That's D-R-E-F-T, Dreft. Get Dreft in the bright green package today. Joyce Jordan is headed for an assortment of troubles. For one, Brett Martin is planning to come to New York to work for a newspaper, and her pen will be tipped with venom. Then, too, Ernest, Joyce Jordan's foster son, is on the brink of running away from home and taking Jimmy Malone, Mike's little boy, with him. And finally, Iris Blakely has all but engaged Lydia Drake to nurse Dawson. And Lydia hates Joyce. But Joyce, at the moment, is concerned with one immediate problem. She's standing in the hospital corridor, talking to Dr. Tracy.
But, Jordan, there's nothing I can do. If Iris Blakely wants to take Dawson home, there's not one single thing I can do.
You can put your foot down and refuse permission.
Oh, now, don't be childish. You know perfectly well that I could get myself and the hospital in a peck of trouble if I did that.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry, Dr. Tracy.
You know, every once in a while I tell myself that you're the perfect doctor, that you're cool and capable, that you have more than an average amount of gray matter under that blonde hair of yours.
And then
you let your heart run away, not only with your head, Jordan, but with your hands. When we did the exploration on Dawson Blakely, you cracked up.
Please, don't.
And now, you talk like a spoiled child, a child younger than your own Ernest. I'm giving it to you on the chin, Jordan. I'm behaving like a woman myself instead of a doctor. And I'm taking it out on you because I'm sore as a pup at Iris Blakely.
It's all right. I deserve everything you've said to me. You've been perfectly fair.
I've been anything but fair, and I know it.
Well, then there's not one single move we can make to save the situation.
There's only one thing that'll save the situation, and neither of us want that thing to happen.
Are you sure?
Perfectly sure. The only thing that will save the situation, Joyce, is for Dawson Blakely to have a relapse, to be back on the critical list.
Oh, heaven forbid. I
knew you'd feel that way. In his present condition, and I'm saying this as a doctor, Jordan, Dawson may be better off in his own home. Certainly he'll have luxuries in his own home that we can't supply at Hotchkiss Memorial. You've never been in his bedroom.
No, not yet.
There's a balcony outside of his bedroom window. He can be wheeled out on the balcony when the weather's fine. He'll get palate-tickling food at home, and Hotchkiss Memorial food is just average hospital food. And he'll be rid of all the disinfectant hospital smells.
And he'll be rid of me.
Now, skip the personal element. You know, I've always been told that love will find a way, Jordan.
Whoever first said that never knew Iris Blakely.
Well, you're smart. Dawson's smart. You'll find a method about foxing that... Isn't that Lydia Drake who just brushed by us?
I didn't notice that. Yes, it was Lydia. She's going into Dr. Gray's office.
When she passed us, she had her face turned in the other direction. I don't know why she took all the trouble to keep us from recognizing her when she knows that I know she's been rummaging around in my office.
Rummaging around in your office?
Yep.
Well, don't tell me you turned Lydia Drake loose in your office.
I told her to look in my files and dig out the parish folder. Gray wanted to check some of my data against his slides and his findings. You know, that Lydia Drake's a little cat. Oh, well, isn't much damage she can do in an office file. Besides, Iris Blakely was there.
Did you leave Lydia Drake alone with Iris Blakely, Dr. Tracy?
Sure, why not?
Oh, I hate to think what they may have said about me. They're the two women who dislike me most in the world. And both for the same reason, I'm afraid.
Yeah, they've both been bitten and infected by the green-eyed monster. Oh, well, I'll go back to my office and give Iris permission to take Dawson away from you, darn it all. And if you want my advice, Jordan, you'll go up to Dawson's room and tell him what's in the offing. That poor guy should be warned.
So, Joyce, following Dr. Anise Tracy's advice, makes her way to Dawson Blakely's private room on the seventh floor of Hotchkiss Memorial. She pushes open the door without knocking, and Dawson looks up from the letter he's writing.
Well, coincidence, beautiful coincidence. The sort of coincidence that makes a man believe in eternal spring and rainbows with pots of gold at the end of them. And I was just writing you a note.
Well, you can give it to me now.
Not a chance. It isn't finished yet. I'm composing a masterpiece, and I'll mail it to you, special delivery. You'll have it on your breakfast tray in the morning, and you'll be smiling when you come to the end of the first paragraph. And when you come to the end of the second paragraph, you'll be blushing. Well, you're not smiling now, Joyce. You're not blushing. In fact, you're a bit pale.
I'm very depressed, darling.
Oh, come over here beside my bed, and I'll comfort you. You know, I have very special ways of comforting lady physicians.
We'll have to comfort each other, Dawson.
That suits me fine. Cooperation between two people who love each other as much as we love each other. What is it, darling?
You know, it's just as well you're getting in practice writing letters to me, Dawson.
Hmm? Elucidate, honey.
Because we'll have to take up letter writing seriously in the near future.
You're a bit too subtle for me, sweetheart.
All right, I'll stop being subtle. I'll tell you. Your mother's taking you home from the hospital. At this very moment, she's in Dr. Tracy's office making the final arrangements.
Well, may not be too dreadful. The Blakely Mausoleum has its brighter spots, and one of them is my room. It'll be a relief to get away from white walls, white ceilings, white iron beds, white furniture, and...
And a woman in white?
Huh? Oh, I get it.
Of course, that's the whole idea, Dawson. Your mother wants to separate us. And the quickest, most efficient way of doing that is to get you away from the hospital.
Mother's smart as a whip.
And she uses one. Honestly, she's the smartest woman I've ever known, Dawson. She outguesses me at every turn. She's always a jump ahead of me.
I think that's why she loves me so much. She's never been able to outguess me completely. And I've always been a half a pace ahead of her. At least I always was when I was able to walk. Now it'll be different.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
I could always turn on the heel angrily and leave town when Iris was difficult and stay away until she was ready to come to terms. But now she has me where she wants me.
My darling, she only has you where she wants you for the time being.
For the time being? Joyce, when you talk like that, you give me hope. For the time being. Well, then you think...
I know. Somehow I've got to cure you. So you can get out from under her thumb. But how can I cure you if I can't even see you?
Mother can take me home. But she can't separate us.
She can darn right fix it so that we can never talk to each other alone, and that amounts to the same thing. Oh, Dawson, what's the answer?
Oh, don't fret about it, dear. I have nothing to do while I'm lying flat on my back but figure out answers. And I'll figure this out.
You're wonderful.
Better than that, I'm resourceful. If Mother's going to make a prisoner of me, I'll keep her hopping. Turn up the corners of your mouth, Joyce. I like them better when they're turned up.
Darling, darling. There never was anybody like you in all this world. Never.
There never was anybody like you. Rather than not see you, Joyce, I'll have a relapse every day and pull a big deathbed scene. And then Mother will have to relent and send for you so you can say goodbye.
Oh, no, don't say such a thing, not even in fun.
I'm not saying anything in fun. I'm deadly serious. There are swell methods by which a guy in my condition can bring on a relapse. And believe me, Joyce, if it means that I can't see you, I won't spare the horses.
Mrs. Blakely's efforts to separate Joyce and Dawson, her son, may lead to serious trouble, for Dawson isn't joking when he says he'll go to any length to see the girl he loves. Remember what Dawson told Joyce.
I've always been half a pace ahead of my mother. She's never been able to outguess me completely.
Yes, Dawson is in a defiant mood, and he may do himself a real injury because of his defiance. Now, come on, ladies. Let's draft along with our draft march. Draft, draft, draft your dishes, and oh, how they shine, shine without wiping in half of the time and look right. Right, so don't you get left, get dressed. Yes, every day more housewives join the march to draft, and no wonder. Draft Procter & Gamble Sudsing Miracle gets dishes cleaner than any soap. So clean they shine, even without wiping. Even glasses sparkle without touching a towel to them.
And friends, here's a special dishwashing hint. If you do any canning, it's important that those canning jars get clean, that they're sanitary, and look pretty, too. So wash them and Draft. You see, Draft leaves no soapy residue on jars and dishes the way soaps do. That's the wonderful thing about Draft. Draft suds actually rinse clean and clear. So your preserved jars will be sparkling clean, and how proud you'll be of them.
Remember, too, Draft works the same miracles on your everyday dishwashing jobs. Even grease on steak platters and frying pans is no match for Draft. Yet, Draft is kind to your hands.
Oh, millions of women who Draft their colored lingerie and lovely sheer stockings know how gentle it is. Draft contains no alkali that can redden and roughen your hands.
Do try Draft for your dishes, ladies. See them shine even without wiping. Get Draft, D-R-E-F-T, Draft, today. Be sure to listen to Joyce Jordan tomorrow. This is Richard Stark inviting you to listen again to Joyce Jordan, M.D., brought to you by Draft, the new and different suds that performs washing miracles no soap could ever do. It starts with D and ends with T. That's D-R-E-F-T, Draft.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.